All right, good evening, everybody. We'll call to order City of Berkeley Lake Planning Zoning Commission for today, March 21st, 2023. It's 7:17. First matter of business, approval of or changes to the agenda.
I move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And next, the approval of the minutes from February 14th. Pecca, George, and Rand were present.
Mm-hmm. Moved to accept as presented.
Second. And all in favor?
Aye.
All right. So, old business, planning, zoning, PZB 23-01, 586 Lakeshore Drive variance to expand a non-conforming structure, section 78-141, and encroach 20 feet into the 65-foot front setback, section 78-197-5, and 2.5 feet into the 12.5-foot north side setback, section 78-197-7. And I know you guys discussed this last month.
Yes.
I have a point of order. Yes. We tabled this at the last session. Do we have to do something to untable it, or is it automatically untabled?
I think it's fine just to go back into discussing it. Okay. Since it's been put on the agenda.
Okay.
Detabled.
Just want to be safe.
Yeah, I like it. So how do we take this up from here?
Well, I mean, two of you were not here last month. I would suggest that you go ahead and have the applicant run through the project again, similar to how he did last month.
Okay.
That's sufficient for you guys?
Sounds great.
Okay. Let me turn this around, if I may. And my name's Carl Leitz. I had the opportunity to meet three of you, George and Pecca and Rand, last time. Valentine's Day, actually.
For the record, would you just read your address as well?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my address is 586 Lakeshore. And I mentioned last time, just to tell you a little bit about me and my family, I'm married for 22 years. My wife's name is Elizabeth. We have two boys. We have a senior at Wesleyan, and we have an eighth grader at Wesleyan, and we're relatively new to the community. We moved out here August of 2021 and rented a house. We mainly moved out here, well, not mainly, we moved out here exclusively to get close to our kids' school. And we rented the house at 510 Lakeshore, tried to buy that house, and that didn't work out, but we fell in love with the community and decided that we wanted to try to find a house, and we were fortunate enough to find a house. And we purchased this house at 586 Lakeshore from Rick and Delois Smith. Our neighbors are actually here as well this evening, George and Camille Kennedy. And we love the house. I mean, it's kind of the bottom line. The folks that lived there before did a really, really good job renovating the house. It's problem for us. There's two problems. One's a little bit more significant than the other one. The first problem, and you guys have photos and stuff in here that relates to the things that I'm talking about, and I should also say that Clark Tate, who three of you met last time, he's our architect, so he's in a position to answer any questions you all might have. But the first problem relates to basically the garage. The garage is well within the front setback, probably built before there was a setback requirement, I would sort of assume. I don't know that for a fact. But the garage is not in an ideal spot architecturally, just not in a great spot. So we kind of looked at moving that, and it's just not really feasible for a lot of different reasons. So then we looked at maybe taking the garage and doing one thing to it to make it look more appealing to us architecturally and to the neighborhood, which involves taking off the roof that goes up like this and putting a roof on the garage that's more consistent with the slope of the house. So that's one of the problems that we're trying to solve here and correct. That's of significance, but it's not as significant as the other problem. The other issue is just that the house is, for us, you know, it's a little bit too small. We have two teenage boys. The house is currently, it's called a three-bedroom home, three-bedroom, two-bath home, but one of the bedrooms really doesn't have a closet, and you have to walk through it to get to the other bedroom. So it's not ideal, especially for a couple of teenage boys that at least like to have some of their own space from time to time. So what we looked at doing was to build off, if you're facing the right side of the house, if you're facing the house, we're looking to build on the right side of the house. And really what we're trying to do is to do our best to put a lot of what we're proposing behind the garage to kind of tuck it in back there. But not everything is going to be tucked in back there, and some of what we're proposing is going to be within the front setback. And we've tried to do a really good job, and I think Clark has done a really good job sort of designing this and then also laying it out so everybody here can understand specifically what we're trying to do. I don't know if you guys have the same exact thing that I have, but we have a diagram right here.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this some last time. I think it's kind of helpful because one of the things that it does is it shows you exactly what we're trying to do, and it also talks about square footage. So basically what we're trying to do is 304 square feet. Clark will speak to this more than I can, and correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is right. Of what we're proposing is within the setback, okay, behind the garage, and I'm talking about that section, 304 square feet. Of the 304 square feet, I believe that 240 of it is actually behind the garage. But if you look at this little section to the right, I think that that's 64 square feet that is not behind the garage, kind of to that bottom right area that's similar to a triangle. So we had a lot of good, I think, open discussion last time. I wouldn't say back and forth, but just honest discussion about different thoughts on this. My recollection, and of course I haven't read the minutes, but I'm sure they're accurate, was that we had two folks at the time that were willing to approve what we were asking to do. And George, again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you were willing to live with, I was going to say okay, but I think willing to live with is probably a more accurate description, what we were proposing to do, with the exception of the eaves, because I've talked to you about this section behind the garage, but there's also, hopefully this word, you're not uncomfortable with this, the eaves, some ordinances, as I understand it, I don't think this is all that relevant, but don't consider the eaves, if they go over the setback, as an issue. But our ordinance does, so we have to obviously live with our ordinance. We have what I would describe as a de minimis, I'll call it an intrusion, if that makes sense, area where our eaves go over the setbacks in the back there. And so this discussion really kind of boiled down to last time, look, if you eliminate the eaves, then I think George was comfortable going along with it at that point, which I appreciate the back and forth and just frankly the being candid about it. At the time, and I feel like we still feel this way, we would ask that we get approval for all of this and not have to cut the eaves off. That's, we feel like the eaves are important from a design standpoint. They help complete the look. They make that part of the house consistent with the other part of the house. And although I'm not saying we couldn't live with it, because I'm just being honest with you, we could, but in the overall scheme of things, from a design standpoint, it just to us makes a little more sense to keep those. So I feel like that's really where we left it last time, and so what we decided to do was to table it, to come back, maybe encourage George to come with us this time, perhaps. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Hopefully keep the other folks in agreement that they were okay with this, and then obviously see where you guys stand and answer any questions that, you know, that y'all have about it. We're anxious to kind of get started. It sounds like we could have gotten permission if we would have cut the eaves off last time, but the overall design to us is of real importance, so we just decided to take a step back and kind of see where we landed after meeting everybody this evening.
So first I'll make some introductory comments. First of all, thank you. Very succinctly put, I'm Greek, so I talk a lot more than you. So, and I also appreciate the civil tone and the candid tone, because hopefully you'll be a future friend. You're certainly a neighbor, and so we'll move forward with that. And Lee did a great job with the minutes relative to presenting kind of counterpoint of where I was coming from. Over the years, I've seen a gradual erosion of, the view shed, for lack of a better word, every passing year there's fewer trees in the backyard. It's no longer reminding me quite as much as a North Georgia lake. Still a beautiful place to live. As it related to the front, I could indeed live with it. I didn't like it, but that garage is clearly right there. And what the proposed improvements actually, I think, improved the view shed through there. So that was a pretty easy sell. And so non-conforming structure on that side, a little more non-conforming, but better overall. It is when I create or vote to create a new non-conformity on the sides setback. That's, that was a bridge too far for myself. So that kind of wraps up the conversation yesterday. We are a group of different people with diverse opinions, and so I want to just kind of present one perspective on this.
Well, if I can also speak to that, I think first I did commend already last time that I think this is probably the best rendition of an application that I've ever seen, and it certainly clarifies with the different colors and different projections how this, as we all agree, improves the view from around this property. I came to the conclusion and quite clearly stated that I was willing to approve it as it is for one of the reasons that, and George has been very adamant about that, that we should always look at, is there something we can do to reduce the nonconformity, and are there some improvements that can be made here? And we had some very substantial discussions here going back and forth on this, and could the house be made smaller so that the eaves wouldn't go over on those little blue areas that we're seeing here or what have you. So I would say we had substantial discussions about that. And it has to be said that I think that the thought that has been put into this improvement is substantial and has, I think, already achieved such a good solution that we couldn't come up with anything that would make it better. And I certainly did not feel that we should stand on principle and not allow this, especially when it comes at an expense of making it look less good in everybody's view. So this was why, I was leaning towards that we should approve that and felt that it was also the best thing to table this so that the full committee could have a look at it, and maybe we would find a majority to approve it here at this meeting today.
I did have one question. I don't know if you guys can answer this or he might be able to answer this. I know the roof line of the garage, you're changing, instead of it being a peak, it's going to be flattened, but then it will also continue back. Do we know if the impact to the neighbors in terms of the view of the lake is impacted at all by that? I know the angle is, it's a little hard to tell, but that would be my, I mean, you've already got the house there, you've already got the garage there, so I'm not sure that anything would be blocked, but because of its increased height, that was the only thing I wasn't sure about.
If you look at the last page, I think it's my time to say that, but mm-hmm. The last page, we just posed the existing gable roof over mm-hmm. the shed, and the peak of the existing gable roof is higher than any of the new.
Right. I think what I'm thinking is more like on this, not so much from the front, but this back part, so the house that's over on this side, if they're looking at the lake from an angle.
That would be us.
Right, okay.
So, yes, there's no doubt that it would impact the view, but we are fairly isolated because of the nature of our lot. We are kind of down in the ravine. Mm-hmm. I too, the trees coming down and all the different things that would have to happen.
You want to come introduce yourself and give us your address? No, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm George Kennedy. This is my wife, Camille. We live at 590 Hilltop Lane, and we're directly next to their property. So, yes, we've considered that it would block a little bit, but we like living in the woods, and we like the fact that there's lots of trees around. But to be perfectly honest, the ugly garage, I think it's a fair trade-off. And let me state also that Carl did not ask us to be here. We came because, you know, it's next door, and it's important to us. But there are some issues. We've got some issues with, some of the runoff and that type of thing. So there'll be some landscaping involved to mitigate some of those things that I have to say that the previous owner did. Previous owner scraped a bunch of all the vegetation off of the hill. And the last rain we had, a whole bunch of his yard ended up in our yard. So there are some things that are going to have to be addressed. But Carl and I and Elizabeth and Camille have spoken about these things. And at this point, we have no objection. Okay, I just want to be very clear that we have no objection. I think what they're doing will be an improvement on the property. Aesthetically, Camille and I are both artists, and aesthetics are important. And so I just have to just say we have no objection to their plans.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Camille Cottrell. I'm married to George Kennedy. I came to Berkeley Lake as a bride 30 years ago. So I have seen a great many changes, and most of them I don't like. They're all about giant houses and impressive, I suppose, on some sort of level, impressive in their scope. But, you know, when I'm looking at, you know, their property, you know, that was a tiny little fishing shack, like one of the original houses. And so, you know, you had a tiny little rectangular shape. It had some porches on the side. It was meant to be exactly that. You came out for the weekend, and excuse me for being sexist, but it was mostly a guy kind of hangout. Okay. So there's that. But what we're seeing they want to do is to look at a sort of modern sensibility from Frank Lloyd Wright. Mm-hmm. And that's where the eaves thing come in for me, because you gotta have the eaves. If you want Frank Lloyd Wright, you have to have the overhang. Our house was actually designed by Taliesin architect. So I'm an art historian from memory. So I'm very big on aesthetically how things look. I don't mind telling you, if somebody wanted to knock down that house and build something three-story with five bedrooms and eight bathrooms, I don't know why that figure just always shocks me. But, you know, again, he's talking about his family, and he's talking about wanting to live there, and he's brought an architect in that will consistently keep the roof lines together, which aesthetically is exactly what should happen. And is it going to have an impact on what we can see out of our bedroom window? Or what's always shocking to me is I think I live in this perfect sort of Arden, you know, where I just live in the woods. But when I go into other people's houses, I realize I can see right into my living room, right into my bedroom, right into everything. And I'm like, well, they'll just have to adjust. So what I'm saying is it's going to be a sort of visual thing, but I think it's what I'm talking about. For someone to want to expand their house for two teenage boys and make this livable, and I've been in that house, it's not livable unless it's just one or two people. I mean, it's attractive, it's gorgeous, but it's not livable. We have four teenage boys. We know what it takes. So, you know, what I'm saying is that the architectural design actually complements my house, and I appreciate that. And as well as I think that, you know, we have just talked about things. And that's the nicest thing in Berkeley Lake, or what I came here and it was. Nowadays, people don't really talk about anything. They just build whatever they want. And it might pass the committee, but it doesn't like a North Georgia Lake anymore. And I lament it. But what he's... And Elizabeth are trying to do, I think, is going to be helpful with that. We're going to need some serious help about erosion because of the fact of, you know, we all are sitting right at the top of the hill. My house is built over a ravine where the stream bed comes right underneath my living room. And that's beautiful, and it's Frank Lloyd Wright, but it does have some engineering challenges. So we're saying that we are looking at all these things, and we want to come tonight because we agree with their designs and how sensitive they've been to it. So that's all I really have to say.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
A couple technical questions that I can't, unless I'm missing it somewhere here. So that overlay on that last page, you know how many feet... How many feet lower is the front of that roof compared to the back of the existing garage? Do you have any idea? You see what I'm saying? Where you show the peak being up above, but it's really hard to tell from that. Is that like 2 feet? Is it like 5 feet?
I should have measured that because I had the same question last time, but I think it's like 2 feet.
Okay. And then the other question is what is this height above the existing house?
I don't have that dimension either, but it also looks to be, I think it might be 3 feet, but I can't say that for certain, but I can get back to you on that.
That's fine.
This last page has a few more measurements.
Yeah, but I don't... Those are measurements above the grade. Yeah.
At that location.
But we don't have that measurement at the back of the existing garage, what it is above the grade, so it's kind of hard to tell. That's right. Just curious. So I do want to point out, this really has nothing to do with the side setback issue that you're talking about, George, but so I drove by, and from a visual impact, it's significant. It's going to be significant as you're approaching the house. But if they had wanted to, they could have built and stayed completely inside, and it would have had the exact same impact. It wouldn't have increased any of the... So really, it is just those... What is it, about 2.5 feet that the eaves extend into the... across the line?
So, which is why I suggested just shrinking the, in either direction, the length of the expansion or the width slightly to accommodate so that the eaves are within the setback. Because I was very saddened to hear that Taliesin West was closed. I would hate to take away from the aesthetic, but I think the aesthetic can be accomplished by slightly reducing the expansion on that side. Or taking off the eaves, but I'm not a fan of that.
So I'm trying to get a feel for where everybody is. By the way, did that ever get passed? Did we vote?
Yes.
Yes, you get to vote.
We did.
Okay. I knew we discussed it, but I couldn't remember if we got it. Yeah.
I did
around
a year ago.
Not if needed.
No, no.
I get vote.
Yes.
Regardless.
Yeah. You are now a voting member.
Yeah. Yeah. Practically, we're in a situation that if either one of you is for this, it would carry. And that's where it is. It was very clear where we stood after last meeting, and I think we all voiced at least the two yeses were quite strong yeses, and you were as I think you described very correctly what your view was.
And the other thing is that these eaves aren't. It's not a standard eave, which standard eave is going to impact the view much more than this, because this is just straight, right? It's just going to be a flat line. It's not going to be, if it were a typical, like the existing garage, like that, then you've got a vertical component to it that's going
right.
to be more impactful.
We would have a problem with that.
Because that water would run right onto your property.
Yes, it would.
I'm fine with it as it's proposed. My questions have been answered, so.
Okay. My position has not changed. I guess I was a little bit, didn't know exactly why something wasn't brought back with trying to meet what the commission was saying last time. But I'm not the type of person that sees the setbacks and the conforming, non-conforming is black and white. And I think there are degrees. Some things are just not acceptable, period. Some things to me, I get what George is saying, that it's like a creeping vine, that one day it'll just be all house and there won't be any lots between. I don't think we're there. I don't think we're going to get there in my lifetime, so I'm not quite as adamant about it as George is.
I agree with that statement, but I also want to say that I really sincerely think that what George has brought often here is that we are looking to get the best solution
right.
with as least impact as possible. And I have to say that looking at this, I think that work has been done before they got here.
Right.
And I don't think it's right that we should require more from someone who has already done the work. And that's why I have such a strong opinion as to that this should be approved as requested.
Is the eave is how tall is that? Like the what's actually this? I mean, is it like a foot and a half? What's actually going to be extended in across the line there?
It's a foot thick, the roof is a foot thick, and the longest part of the eave. Going north, south on the bay, I believe it's east, west, is 2.5 feet, and then the north, south dimension is 1 foot.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is that the side setbacks, really, we try to enforce them because we think having, for people to be able to drive down the road and get a picture of the lake in between homes is nice. And so that's why we're usually pretty, we're pretty stingy about giving up the side setbacks for that reason. And so if the house itself actually went across that line, I would have, it would be a completely different thing for me. But the fact that we're talking about a 12-inch high eave that's going to be sticking 2.5 feet across the line, I have no problem with that. So, do I hear a motion?
I move that we approve this as requested.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 4-1. Passes.
Thanks a lot.
By the way, when you get a permit to do this project,
yes, sir,
you will be required to handle the runoff, so that shouldn't be a concern.
Well, let me mention this, and I'm glad you said that. George had talked to me about that before any of this. That was not us doing what we're required to do in relation to that. There's no connection between this and that, other than if this imposes some additional connection, we'll make sure we do what we have to do. I mean, they've been good neighbors, and George, of course I want to be, I mean, no hard feelings. I mean, we're just talking about a house, right? I mean, we're excited about it and appreciate the candid discussions with all of you, but thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. That is the old business. Move on to new business. What's the T stand for? PZTA. Thank you for coming, everybody.
Thank you all.
Good night.
What does it stand for?
Text Amendment.
All right, amendment to section 78-196 R100 permitted uses to provide rules regarding the keeping of poultry. Why is this coming up?
That's what I asked you.
Yeah.
Because we have had a lot of increased interest in raising chickens in the city, and we currently have nothing on the books to prevent that.
To prevent it?
Right.
So this is another one of these.
It's another one
of those. We need a rule.
We need something.
Yeah.
And just a little bit of history on this. Going back quite a few years, in 2006, the city was involved in a code enforcement case against a resident of River Mansions on a noise complaint because of roosters. I believe that at that point there was a prohibition that was put into the code to prohibit all, chickens of whatever, raising anything like that. I don't know what it was, and I didn't have the time to go back and dig up the old records, but in 2015, the mayor and council adopted the Gwinnett County Animal Control Ordinance, which replaced a lot of the animal ordinances that the city had on the books. There was a couple of exceptions, one of them being the feeding of wildlife, which I don't know if anybody remembers that interesting code that we have, but it's another Berkeley Lake special. And inadvertently, in doing that and adopting those county rules, the section that dealt with that prohibition was eliminated. I don't think that was the intent at the time. I think that was an oversight. And since I've been back, multiple people have come in asking about chickens. I've heard about it from folks on next door. Mm-hmm. We kind of watch that a little bit to see what's happening out in the community. And so in the last few months, we had a resident in Hermitage actually come into City Hall asking specifically point blankly about this. And it's something that I feel like we need to address.
And where did you just pull that out of some other municipality, the way it's written?
The way that it's written is not word for word out of any one other municipality. I surveyed a number of different codes. The actual acreage that's there is unique to us. No one else has that particular acreage. So, just to kind of give you a little bit more background, the mayor and council discussed this at a work session recently before I brought it to you all, just to make sure that they wanted me to go down this path before I spent your time on it. And that was the suggestion coming out of that group. I haven't been able to survey the entire city. I can't tell you how many of our lots meet that threshold. I do think that there is the sense that most of the modern subdivisions will have some sort of covenant that might address this. And so the general consensus was that it was really the old city that was going to have to contend with this. Many of our lots, especially those around the lake, are not 3/4 of an acre. That is not across the board. There are some that would be of the right size to be able to have chickens. I don't have a position on this.
Where did the 0.75 acres come from?
Just knowing that an acre pretty much eliminates all but a small number of lots, and a half acre would have gotten a whole lot of lots. It was a sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand why we want to preclude somebody whose lot is 0.74 but allow somebody whose lot is 0.76. I'm not sure what
everybody draws a line in the sand. Every code that I looked at had it. I mean, whether it's 0.75 or 1 acre or 10,000 square feet, they all have.
No, but I mean, if you have the same footage that you, as long as you keep it so and so many feet from the, 25 feet from everything else and 40 from the lake, what's the difference? Then would we need to have a limit? Would we need to limit the acreage?
I can tell you, every ordinance I've looked at has drawn a line in the sand about when you can have what.
Maybe we're smarter than all of them.
Maybe we are.
I would think the issue might be quantity. I mean, if you're talking 3 chickens, okay, maybe it doesn't matter, but if you've got 100 chickens or whatever,
this is limited to 5, and I think the point being that the density situation matters. So birds, if you have a 10,000, if you're 4098 Lakeshore, which is 13,000 square feet, and you've got chickens and all the waste products that come with that, it's gonna maybe get on your neighbors a lot easier. It's gonna not be as contained. It will be more offensive, perhaps. Even with if you think the setbacks are enough, that's fine. I'm not a position.
Well,
I always survey codes, and I'm telling you what I found. I don't have time to reinvent the wheel, unfortunately.
Yeah, I actually can't speak to other municipalities on the minimum size and acreage. I would expect it's a density sort of thing. If everybody had a half acre, even if they had the buffers, and everybody wanted 5 chickens, it's going to get pretty noisy and pretty messy pretty quickly through here. So that was one way of controlling it. I look at it from a slightly different thing. I was a lake quality manager back in the early 2000s, and geese were my nemesis, and they're still out here. And the total the coliform counts after rainy days, when the geese particularly are molted and they haven't flown away anywhere, it went into a couple thousand. 200 is recreational waters, so that I would worry tremendously about a lot of chickens on the water.
Right. I mean, it was a way to thin out the number of folks that would qualify to be able to do this. I hear what you're saying, but if every lot qualifies to do it, we're talking about a lot of chickens.
Is that
cumulatively?
Is that what we normally do, though? Do we normally say, okay, let's just picture the absolute worst case, and every single house on the lake gets chickens? I mean, that's just not realistic.
It's not, but I will tell you that I think that in a lot of cases, that's exactly what happens. They think, well, how do we know? Do we want even half of the lots to have them?
Yeah.
Back to George's point, there's a real issue with the drainage concern is a legitimate one, and it may be enough to say, we just can't have chickens here at all.
I have 20 geese in my backyard every day. It's going to take an awful lot of chickens around here to match what those 20 geese put in my backyard.
Yeah, geese, fair point.
If we had open season on geese, I would have a fun time.
I have a shotgun in case you need help.
I even have recipes for geese.
Well, one of the things that you should know is that tonight is just for discussion purposes. This is not a public hearing. It's not a recommendation yet. I am, and this is just full disclosure on the record, I'm stretched right now. So I brought to you a starting point. I would ask that if you all, have an interest or the opportunity to look further into this for yourselves, I would welcome that, because this is one of those things where I'm a one-man show as it relates to a lot of things, and I'm needing some support.
I think I will expose some lack of knowledge in this area, because when I read this and that you're not allowed to have a rooster, my first thought was, where are the eggs going to come from? But then I read up on it, and they actually don't need a rooster.
They don't want the rooster.
They don't need
it. You don't want the eggs
from the rooster. Keep it at five if you've got roosters, too.
If they're fertilized eggs, you're
going to have unpleasant
surprise when you go to scramble.
So anyway, but then okay, so you're not allowed to have a rooster, and I guess that's a noise issue.
It is.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, so,
I brought you.
It's not a sexist issue.
The common rules that were a thread throughout multiple jurisdictions, that's what I have shown you.
Okay.
This is what I saw kind of across the board. These are the different ways that were frequently points of regulation.
I looked briefly at Duluth just because there's a house in Duluth that has roosters, but I think they're grandfathered in. But anyway, I looked at the ordinance and they do have a density. So based on the size of your lot, you can have X number of chickens, you know, and it goes up from there. But I guess your point is, if somebody comes to you right now and wants chickens, there's not much.
The way that and here's the thing. Everyone has been operating under the assumption that the rule that always was in place still is in place.
Right.
I'm putting all of our necks out there a little bit by going on the record and saying it isn't.
Right.
And that is an exposure that is of some concern, partly because of what George just said. I do think that there's an environmental component of this that has to be considered. And I'm a big fan of farm fresh eggs. I think they're fabulous, much better than anything I can find in a store. But I also think that this is a delicate matter.
Right.
And as you said, I think most of the subdivisions probably have covenants that disallow that. So I'd have to come over here and pick up some eggs.
Right. I will say Easter's coming, and you'd be surprised, but a lot of people buy chickens for their kids.
For
Easter. It's a thing. So.
Especially at Easter.
That's what I mean, yeah.
So it's a starting place. It's something that one of the reason that it's here is typically this would be in an animal ordinance in the old days. But now, very often, these kinds of rules are showing up in zoning codes because it becomes sort of a zoning issue.
Right.
Which districts do we think that this is appropriate in? And what are the typical zoning standards? And that's where you see things like setbacks and dimensional requirements for coops or for enclosures or whatever else. So that's why I put them here. And
when I looked at Duluth, they actually go into great detail in terms of the type of enclosure that the chickens have to have.
Some of them do go into great detail about that.
So
my lot's over 0.75. I think I'm going to get some.
You have a big... I looked at your lot. I said, Dan can have chickens. I mean, I actually did look at a few lots. Well, Dan's...
And I can have them...
Dan qualifies.
And then the hawk that hangs out my backyard wouldn't have to hunt as hard.
There you go. And we could get...
There's lots of them this year. There's more hawks this year than I don't remember when I saw.
That's what that bird feeder is. It's a hawk attraction.
Well, then I had asked, too,
birds
about
off the feeder.
Beekeeping. I mean, I know this goes into a whole nother tangent. I mean, we're not here to boil the ocean, right, on anything that people can do. But I know that's become more and more popular as well. So...
Are we to do anything with this tonight? You're just showing it to us? Or what's the next step with this?
Well, the next step is to have, if you feel like it's something that we need to do to implement some rules, we can leave it the way that it is. I don't think that the mayor and council want to do that. I think that's why that it's, you know, we're where we are because everybody acknowledges that we need to have something on the books to address. If somebody walks in City Hall, what do I tell them? Oh, sure, you can have as many chickens as you want.
So if somebody's out there with a half-acre lot and they go out and buy chickens tomorrow, mm-hmm. do they get grandfathered in, or can we pass this?
I haven't talked to the attorney about the grandfather, probably.
Give him the boot. Okay.
I think if the lot's big enough, I think Joe Rice will go buy some the next day.
Well, like I said, I feel stronger about this issue because I swim in the lake than I do... the eaves. I'm hurt that no one actually, I couldn't convince anybody here on the setback. But that issue aside, I really think that we open up a diminished valuation of our properties if we have consistently high coliform counts in the water. Even though it's a no swimming lake, even though it's things, but I think that the environmental, as far as I'm concerned, I am willing to sacrifice my 7/10 of an acre lot if we can draw the line at 3/4 of an acre, and I'll come steal your eggs, Dan, if the Hawks haven't taken them.
I don't know anything about chicken poop. I know a lot about goose poop. And between my three dogs in the backyard and all of those geese, it's going to take 40 homes with chickens, I think, to match what my lot
is.
But if you go to the beach, I mean, we need more rakes at the beach to get rid of the stuff that's there.
I mean, and it may be, to George's point, it may be the recommendation that comes out from you guys is we don't think that the city of Berkeley Lake should allow people to raise poultry. That was the rule. I mean, that everybody thought was still on the books. And if that's the decision, I have no position really on this.
The issue is that there's exposure here because there's nothing.
I mean, you could, even though I think we're overstating the problem, but if we really did believe that it could affect the lake quality, we could just say no lakeside lots are allowed to have poultry.
The drainage basin for Berkeley Lake goes from a railroad track in Buford to the other side of South Berkeley and North Berkeley Lake Road and all the way to the Chattahoochee River. So to just say these can't cause the lake, we got other places around us that they can have chickens that we don't control.
Yeah, the watershed issue is a bigger issue, and water could run into somebody's lot across the street from the lake, and it will flow right across.
Right. But you got to control your investments.
Very unfortunate. The property, the wetlands, is degraded on the other side of Peachtree Industrial. It feeds, conservation property, but that property, in its own right, filters out. So between the degraded wetlands and those 80 acres there, they do a lot to protect the quality of our water here. I got to tell you, and overstating the problem may or may not be, maybe overstating the problems just slightly now, but this is my business, and I worry deeply about the water I treat at the Coral's Water Treatment Plant, because we get it from the intake at Johnson Ferry on the Chattahoochee. And I will tell you that we are an indirect potable reuse plant. No one wants to admit it, but we have three water reclamation facilities upstream. I am, for the last 2 years, sampling on a quarterly basis, and I have funded $60 million project 4 years from now. I don't know what for an advanced treatment facility. Don't know exactly what it'll be until I figure out what contaminants. And it's interesting, the contaminants I am finding, including the forever chemicals. It's now what we're finding is one part per trillion, which is not much, but EPA's proposed regulation now is four parts per trillion.
We do have standards for exit points from the city for water quality. What if we pass, this ordinance or whatever gets changed, passed, and then all of a sudden that changes?
I'm not following.
Sorry.
When you say we have exit standards.
We created the water quality we take samples I forgot what the timing is, but it has to meet certain standards, parts per million.
That's the lake? Or isn't the lake?
The city is required at exit points from the city. When you leave the city limits of Berkeley Lake, any water, it goes into other properties outside the city.
Are you talking under the MS4 permits?
Yes.
Okay. Those parameters are more qualitative than quantitative.
I'm not taking any water quality sampling, and neither were my predecessors that I know of. We do inspections, and we make sure that people aren't,
No turbidity?
No.
Hmm.
We'll put that to the side.
That's a totally different
The MS4 permit won't touch the conversation we're having about water quality.
And I think the issue here is that we probably should do something about this. I think that's kind of the...
Right.
Like, if we agree on that, that we have to do something, and then the question is what? If the structure, I was asking questions as to what, you know, where does the size come from and what's the density? And of course, I mean, the density requirements, if you're talking about, you know, several acres lots and you can have 500 chicken or 200 chicken, that matters. But I don't think it really matters for the totality of the community whether, you know, the lot that is allowed to have five chicken is half an acre or an acre. That's to me totally arbitrary. And of course, I do think that it's also true that, you know, with the geese that we have here, they're not going to do anything relative to that. But on the other hand, just because you have one contaminant doesn't mean that you should, you know, add another 5% to it.
My point.
Yeah, so that's...
And by the way, if you have geese laying eggs, I'll come over and help addle them. It's a good way of just... they still are on top of the eggs and they...
One time he's in favor of abortion.
I hear you about the lot size. I'll just tell you, Peachtree Corners, it's 3 acres. So we would just not have anybody that have them. I don't think
so. Peachtree Corners, they're just trying to make sure no one can have
Sounds them. Like it. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, I can't say for sure. I haven't done a survey of all of their lots, but it because they probably consider those lots to be more like rural type lots. And, right.
This doesn't have to be permanent anyway. You know, if we make it and it's 0.75 and all of a sudden you've got, you know, 200 people coming in, you know, at 0.73 and they all want chickens, you know.
I agree with you. I don't think we're going to have everybody all of a sudden trying to raise chickens. But, you know, you do try to think through, okay, should it be, you know, where is that sweet spot? In a lot of cases, it was an acre.
An acre,
And I'm fine with an acre. That's what I originally put in here.
Are there people asking about it now that, can I have chicken?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So we...
There are people who want to raise chickens.
Mm, okay, yeah. Yeah. Do you know the size of their lots?
I did check the one that I found, yep. Mm-hmm, it was wouldn't qualify.
And they weren't like 0.73.
It's also in a subdivision, but it's an older subdivision.
Yeah.
That may not have standards. Okay. Well, Hermitage, I think we're talking mainly about Hermitage and the Old City and Haversham.
Yeah.
And Haversham does have some big lots.
Well, Hermitage would not have covenants that forbid that? Is that what you're saying?
They may not even have an HOA. I don't know. Do they?
Hermitage has an HOA, but it's
a long time.
And it's one of the oldest in the county.
I mean, I don't have very strong views on this, but I feel more comfortable with saying that no chicken than, you know, if you only have half an acre, you can't have chicken. That's just how I see it. I don't think practically there's a difference in the problem. But as I said, you know, I wouldn't oppose other people's views on that. I mean, I could go either way.
And, you know, ironically, it's the same way. I'd prefer, three-quarters an acre gives the illusion that we're giving freedom, and the reality is what we're trying to do is minimize the number of potential.
And I don't think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah. So I'm just as fine. If everybody was under the illusion before that no chickens are allowed inside the city, we could just formalize that and just keep it that way and be done with it. I can't wait until the city council elections vote people out because they're not allowing chickens in the city.
Well, unlikely. I mean, what I will probably do in that case is look up a different approach to this and probably put it in the animal ordinance because there's really no need to address it. In the R100 district, we don't say what's not allowed. We say what is allowed.
I think that's better.
And so it wouldn't come back to you if I do it that way.
Well, what are you guys thinking? Because I'm fine with this the way it's written.
I don't have a stake in it one way or the other, but I do think we need to have something written because it sounds like it could, I mean, how many people out there want to do this? I don't know, but we're opening ourselves up.
You know, once it, I mean, since there are people that are wanting to have them, it, right. it's going to go to some extent. We don't know to what extent, but it'll go somewhere.
Right.
And then we'll open the can of worms of you know, well, why is it 3/4 of an acre and why is it 5 chicken and,
right.
you know, no roosters and what have you.
You know, I guess my perspective is, as a person who grew up with a family raising chickens, it's not much fun. I don't know that anybody would do it very long if they could, but maybe they would.
It's also very hard to keep them alive, especially here with
coyotes.
We got some good birds of prey running around here. We got some great eagles. And
weather we've had this winter, going back to Christmas, they would have had to been mm-hmm. really kept warm or they'd be dead. But anyway, I am comfortable with going back to the banning wildlife. you know, if we were kind of out in the county, Gwinnett County, more acreage, more farmland, whatever, I wouldn't be against it. But here in the city, that it's almost as bad as Georgia's, don't let the nonconformance grow. I think chickens just adds a thing similar to that to the list of issues here.
And we can't even have a vegetable garden in our backyard.
I'm sorry?
That we can't have a vegetable garden in our backyard.
That's your homeowner, right?
I can't have one because I don't get any sun, but that's beside the point.
Well, your neighbor tries to have one every year, and this year they gave up, apparently, because they're not tilling the soil.
So the way it stands now, it's just the animal ordinance that doesn't address it, correct?
Correct.
And there's a general belief, it appears, that we're not allowed to have chicken?
I think that everybody has been under that assumption for many years, but
right.
So when someone asks, what are they told?
The person that asked did not ask me. And the person that they did ask said, I think that Lois had said, we want to hear from the community what people think about this, and I don't know that she's heard from anybody, but the person that asked my assistant, she told them, you need to speak to your city council representative about that, or the mayor, or something like that, and we're looking into it, or whatever. We're considering it.
Okay.
So
it sounds to me like 3 of us think we should not have it at all. So I think we should go down that road then. And, you know, if there's enough people in the town that are really upset about that, they can bring it up to the city council, and maybe we'll get directions to go back to something like this from city council. Right? That's how it would work, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll just let them know that, you know, the appetite to allow wasn't there, and we need to look at prohibiting
it. Appetite for chicken.
No appetite for chicken.
But since we're not voted in, you know, the voters could put pressure on city council and the mayor, and then then this will be back on our
right.
plate.
That's smart.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
And then I'll go for 0.7 acres as a minimum. Yeah. So I can have chickens.
What is it?
0.7.
All right. Administrative item, election of chair, vice chair, and secretary.
I don't know the last time this was done. In my past experience, this is an annual sort of thing that gets re-upped. I don't know if that's ever been done here, but it's been
so long. It has. We've been doing it. Did we not do it last year?
We did, yeah.
I don't have it in the minutes. So
we've been doing it every year.
So I just want to...
Whether we remembered last year or not, I'm not positive.
I know we did it since I've been on here. Maybe
I just want to be sure we get
that. At least twice we've done it. I mean, I know that.
Okay.
I would just do three motions, three separate motions, obviously, here, so.
Okay, whatever. I'm fine with staying as chair. I'm okay. Fine if someone else wants to. I don't really care either way.
Likewise.
You're the vice chair?
I am vice chair, but I'm fine with it. Do you want to be vice chair?
No.
Grant?
Been there, done that. And the chair.
As is.
Who's secretary?
Nobody. I mean, if I was appointed, I don't seem to have a record of it.
What does the secretary do?
Me. I mean, I am the secretary. Oh, I'm functioning as the secretary.
Oh, okay, good.
I have been functioning as the secretary since I've been here.
But we don't vote.
Okay, so who is okay with that?
I am appointed. Yes. Yeah, that's why it's the election of chair, vice chair, and appointment of the secretary.
Okay. Yeah. Who appoints you? The chair? After the chair gets elected?
The commission.
Okay.
Okay. And you need three separate motions for each one of those. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. You need a motion for election of the chair.
I move to elect Dan Huntington as chair.
Full second.
Unopposed.
I vote for.
All right. Well, all in favor?
Aye.
And whoever opposes gets it next time.
Who voted against it?
Whoever opposes gets to be the vice chair.
All right. Do I hear a motion on vice chair?
I move to nominate Becca. as vice chair.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And
I move that we appoint Lee as secretary.
I second that.
But can we have a discussion?
Discussion.
Yeah. She has said tonight that she is stretched thin. I don't know how much time you have to spend putting this together, but I'm sure you have to listen to the tape, so it's at least an hour and a half, 2 hours to listen to tapes, probably.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get out of the role.
Okay.
Thank you, though. I appreciate the consideration. I really do. But yeah. I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't trust anybody else.
Not going to railroad you
to deal with these matters are my bread and butter matters, so I'd rather be the person to deal with it.
Well, and we need. You're the only person that could be the go-between.
Yeah, right. I can.
Yeah, that's right.
So, no, it's invaluable.
Okay, so who made a motion there? Anybody? All right, and a second?
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. All right, you guys.
I attempted to put Rand as a secretary, but.
There you go.
I don't write in English.
Meeting is adjourned at 8:19.
I write in Southern.
Oh.